It is a joy to be with you tonight, and I'd just like to say that we're so grateful for the opportunity to be here in the Missions Conference this year. We're truly enjoying our time here and enjoying our time back in the U.S. We've been here now for just over 2 months, coming back on our furlough, and just really having a good time traveling, visiting churches, and just very grateful for it. Since we've been back here, we've had to adjust some to culture and, coming back from Bolivia after living there so long, and language and different things like that. And I'm not sure exactly, it's kind of a weird thing that happens every time we come back from Bolivia, and I'm not sure if it's the difference in the humidity or maybe it's the washing machines here. It's like the longer we're here, the more our clothes begin to kind of shrink. And I'm not sure what that is. Probably has a lot to do with the good food that we eat. We've been eating good already just here, just for two days, basically. And so we're so thankful for everything that's been provided for us, everything that's been here, and all that you do for us and the ministry there in the country of Bolivia. We just like to say that it's our honor to be able to be your missionaries there, and we're so thankful for that. If you open your Bibles to 2 Timothy chapter 2, 2 Timothy chapter 2, I want to speak to you tonight about your investments. About your mutual investments, about your dividends. No, not that kind of investment. We're not talking about that kind of investment tonight. I do want to talk to you about your investments, but I want to talk to you about an investment that's a little bit different. I want to talk to you about the importance and what it is to invest in eternity, to invest in the lives of other people, and what a difference that can truly, truly make, and to know that really investing in the lives of others is really the only way that we're ever going to make a dent in the Great Commission. You know, when you have missionary after missionary that comes here, and every single one of them is going to tell you about the great need where they're at, the great need for the gospel, and so many people that still haven't heard, and they're all legitimate needs. And sometimes it can feel a little overwhelming to think, well, man, what can we do? And I want to tell you that the only way that we can truly move forward and being able to make a dent and move forward towards reaching people with the Great Commission is exactly that, is to be able to invest in the lives of other peoples, Because from our Jerusalem, from your Jerusalem, all the way to the ends of the earth, what is needed today is disciple makers. The importance of discipleship, the importance of what it is to really disciple, to invest in the life of someone else for all of eternity, to realize that discipleship basically, and we're going to show this throughout the passage, the message, is basically investing in the life of someone else, helping them in their Christian life. It's much more than just a set of lessons. We're going to disciple. We're going to say, I'm going to go through these 10 lessons and you're going to be discipled. And that is a part of it, but it's much, much more than that. It's much more than that, because discipleship is helping someone grow in their spiritual life till they can become mature, they get to maturity in their Christian life, so that they and then can in turn do that with someone else, and then someone else and someone else. And that's what discipleship is truly about, so that from here the gospel can begin to spread all over this community, all over the state, all over the United States, and around the world to be able to reach many with the gospel. And so that's why we're here in 2 Timothy chapter 2. We're going to look at just a couple of things very quickly about being a disciple maker, about the importance of being a disciple maker, and to realize that that's a job, that a responsibility that each and every one of us have. That's not just for a missionary, that's not just for the pastor, that's not just for the leaders, but that we should all make disciples, that we all should be disciple makers. The Bible even says, go you and make disciples of all the nations, that we are to go out and make disciples. And it's interesting that it talks about that, because, okay, if I were to tell you that, you know, if I as a parent were to have a child, me and my wife have a child, and I were to take that child and set it out on the sidewalk, and then we were to leave and say, well, I hope that child has a great life, what would you say? You're a really bad parent. What in the world is wrong with you? But you see, sometimes we might do the same thing when it comes to winning others to Christ, when it comes to seeing other people born again, but then we just kind of leave it at that, when in reality, that's just where it all starts. And they really, truly need someone to come alongside of them and help them grow to maturity. And I really believe that if we all begin to put this into practice, as God's word tells us, that we will truly begin to see a greater impact, around the world with the gospel. And so, just very quickly tonight, just a couple of things that I want to show you. The first thing I want to show you here in 2 Timothy chapter 2, number one is the strength of a disciple maker. We've already heard it mentioned. Dr. St. Clair mentioned it this morning. Verse 1, he says, thou therefore, my son, and what does he say? Be strong. Be strong. And so we need to realize that being a disciple maker isn't for the faint of heart. And that may be why we don't see more people making disciples and more people discipling and more people investing in the lives of other people. Why? Because it's not easy. When you get down in the dirt and the grit of the life of someone and you try to help them and you try to help them move forward and you try to help them, and because a lot of times we say it's one step forward and two step backs, or maybe at least two step forwards and one steps forward and one step back, and that's the way it is in the Christian life, especially of someone who's just getting started. And they truly need someone to help, but it requires a lot. It's not easy. It can be very difficult for us to be able to be involved in something like that. And a lot of times I think that's why so many people don't get involved. But here he tells us, he says, thou therefore, my son, Paul speaking to Timothy, tells him, be strong. And that's a command that he gives us, so we know that we can do it. We can do it, but the key there is, and I think that sometimes the problem is, we kind of trust in our own strength. We kind of trust in ourselves, and then when it doesn't pan out, and it doesn't work, and sometimes maybe we're trying to help someone, and they just seem to, they won't listen, and it seems like they kind of go back, and or they kind of go by the wayside, and sometimes we say, well, why am I even doing this? You know, this is just ridiculous. I don't have time for this. I don't have the energy for this. I can't do it. And that's why I think he starts out by telling us here the importance of being strong. But not being strong in ourselves. What does he say there? Be strong in the grace that is where? In Jesus Christ. And you see, we can't do it on our own. You'll never be a disciple maker. You'll never be able to truly impact the life of someone else on your own, because all the words in the world are not going to change someone's life. It's only the Holy Spirit of God working in their life through the Word of God that they can truly see a difference and truly see a change in their life. And so we need to be strong. We need to seek the Lord's help and strength to be able to make disciples, to be able to multiply ourselves as Christians, but we can only do that. And it's interesting because he says that he uses the word grace there, and we know that that's God's unmerited favor. That's when God gives us what we do not deserve. That's when God gives us the ability to do things that we normally would not be able to do. And you might say, well, there's no way that I could disciple someone. There's no way that I could do something like that. But you can. We can. Why? With the strength of the Lord. Because he gives us that grace, that ability. As he speaks of in 2 Corinthians chapter 8 and 9 about giving, that grace that he gives us to do something that seems impossible. If you would have known me before any of this ever started in my life, you would have said, he'll never be able to be a missionary. He'll never be a someone who preaches. My greatest fear in life was having to get up in front of people and speak. I think God has a sense of humor sometimes, doesn't he? You know, I was just a country boy, grew up on a farm, and honestly, I hated any kind of public speaking. I hated even being in front of people. And I remember when God began to deal with my heart, my life about serving him and about preaching his word, and I thought, God, you got the wrong person. There's no way that I could do that. There's no way that I could get up in front of someone and speak. But you see, I could, but only if I trusted in the strength of the Lord, that he gives us the grace to do what seems impossible. And that's something that we need on a continual basis as disciple makers, as someone who's going to help someone else in their spiritual life, the strength of the Lord. Then the second thing we see, not only is the strength, but we see the strategy of the disciple makers. Verse 2 has always been our ministry verse from the time we started. And it's so interesting because it tells us the strategy about how to really make disciples and how to truly impact our world. He says there, and the things that thou hast heard of me among many witnesses, the same commit thou to faithful men who shall be able to teach others also. In this verse, it seems maybe not that significant, really has so much in it to teach us about the strategy of how we can really invest in the lives of others and see that really impact our society. You know, we work, and I praise the Lord for Fellowship Baptist Church, and to see a church this full on Sunday night and see what God's doing here in this area, but there's still so much more to be done. If we go out into the community, we go out into the society, and we think, wow, is God even doing anything? Because it seems like everything around us is just going worse and worse. It's going downhill so often. And so we need to realize what the strategy is. And here we can see, number one, it starts with us. Paul tells Timothy, he says, and the things that thou hast heard of me. The things that thou hast heard of me. So we're going to see four different generations or four different people here in this process, but it starts with Timothy. He says, the things that thou hast heard of me. So Paul spent the time, what? Investing in Timothy's life. We won't take time to look there, but in chapter 3 and verse 10 and 11, he says, but thou hast fully known my doctrine, manner of life, purpose, faith, long-suffering, charity, patience, persecutions, afflictions. He says, thou hast known. You have learned these things from me and from time that you spent with me. You know these things. And you see, when he tells Timothy here, the things that thou hast heard of me, those are the things that Paul passed on to Timothy. And so discipleship can be described basically as spiritual reproduction. You know, the Bible talks about being born again. And basically, discipleship is us reproducing ourselves in someone else as a Christian. And a very convicting question that we can ask ourselves is, if I were to reproduce myself as a Christian right now, what type of Christian would I reproduce? You might say, well, maybe we'll look at that a little bit later on. Because why? Often, some people say, well, I would like to help somebody else in their Christian life, but I have enough hard time myself. I have a hard enough time trying to do something myself or deal with myself or deal with my own situation. So it starts with us. We have to grow. If you've never been discipled, you need to look for someone that can help you to grow and learn. You need to spend time studying and learning the Word of God. Learn all that you can. Ask to spend time with the pastor, one of the pastors here. Ask to study and learn about the Word of God and ask God to help you grow in your spiritual life. Because it all starts with us. Because if we're going to reproduce ourselves in the life of someone else, then we have to be the Christian that God would want us to be in our lives. Not perfect, but someone that's moving forward, someone that's growing and changing in their lives. And that's always the key. We'll never be perfect. But it's interesting how as we help someone else, guess what? If we present ourselves as we're up here and you're down there, and they might think, well, you know what? There's no way I could ever attain the life that you have. But when they see us in our own lives and our own struggles, but we show them how God helps us through those things and how God's Word guides us and directs us, then we can show them how it will do the same thing in their lives. So it starts with us, but then it's passed to others. He says, and the thing that thou hast heard of me among many witnesses, what does he say? The same commit thou to faithful men. So we now are in the third generation. Paul taught Timothy, and he tells Timothy, the things that you have learned from me, you need to commit that to who? Other faithful men. We don't have time. There's so many details and so many things in here we could talk about, but the importance of investing in others and to realize that not everyone is going to have the same interest about the things of God. And so that's, we can't put all of our eggs in one basket. We should try to help every single person possible. But it's interesting that Paul tells Timothy to look for faithful men, faithful people. And that talks about a desire. Someone that truly shows the fruit of salvation in their life. And if somebody truly is born again, there will be a desire in their heart for the things of God. There'll be a desire in their life to learn more and to want to find out more and grow more in their lives. And that's the kind of person we need to look at so that we can then share what we are learning with those people. And look what he says. Not only does it go from Paul to Timothy and Timothy to faithful men, he says, the same commit thou to faithful men who shall be able to teach others also. So Paul taught Timothy, tells him to teach faithful men so that they can teach others. And obviously, it doesn't just stop there. So that they can teach others, who can teach others, who can teach others, and who can teach others. And as we begin to help people grow in their spiritual lives, and we help one person grow, and then that person helps someone else and maybe come to know the Lord and grow in their lives, and then we're helping somebody else, and we can see the gospel, we can see this begin to expand, and how what a difference it would make, not only here, but around the world. We could do so much more for the gospel if we would follow God's plan and God's strategy. So not only do we see the strength and we see the strategy, but I think the last thing that we see here is the sacrifice. This might be the part that maybe holds us back. This might be the part that maybe keeps many of us from doing what we should do And being involved in this process of growing spiritually in our own lives, but also reaching out and discipling others. It's interesting because he gives us three different illustrations here, I think, kind of explaining to Timothy, kind of understanding, okay, you kind of understand this. This is what I want you to do. I want you to be strong, trust in the Lord, for the strength of the Lord, to go out and do the work of the Lord. And he says, and I want you to invest in the lives of other people so that they can invest in the lives of others and they can invest in the lives of others. He said, but I do want you to know there's a sacrifice. There's a price. There's a difficulty. And he says there in verse 3, thou therefore endure hardness. The first illustration he gives us is as a soldier. As Dr. Sinclair mentioned this morning, the soldier. And when we think about that, we have a saying in Spanish. It's very interesting. Soft pillows do not make strong soldiers. And they say that all the time. If someone's complaining about what's going on, they say, you know what? Strong, soft pillows don't make strong soldiers. You know, when someone goes, I've never been in the military, but obviously we know that when someone goes into the military, it's not there to be, they're not going to be sitting around in the jacuzzi and, you know, just relaxing. And, you know, they're there to be prepared. But to be prepared to endure anything, to be prepared to face anything. And so many soldiers throughout history have faced so many horrific things that our minds can't even comprehend. But they were able to do that. Why? Because they were willing to sacrifice. And sacrifice it all if necessary. And that's why he tells us that we need to be what? Willing and ready to endure hardness. We need to go out and say, you know what? I'm willing to sacrifice. The Apostle Paul said, I'm willing to spend and be spent if necessary so that you can hear the gospel. And that's the attitude we have to have. You know what? I'm willing to sacrifice. And I think often we think, well, you know, I've got my career and I've got my house and I've got my family and I've got my my comforts. And, you know, that's just, I remember when I worked with my family. I'm from the southwestern part of Virginia. We had a family business and I really enjoyed my job. We worked in sheet metal, welding, and I really enjoyed it. It was hard work, a lot of hard work, but I enjoyed it. And the thing was, is I remember when I began to contemplate what it was to do this, and I thought, man, I'm going to be, you know, it's not going to be the same. You know, I'm not going to have an income. I don't know how I'm going to live. I don't know how I'm going to be able to do this. I don't know if I'm going to be able to get up in front of people and speak. But I said, you know what, God, I've given you my life. And I said, Lord, here's my life. Do with it whatever you would have, you would want, and I'm willing to sacrifice. And not only the enduring hardness, but one of the things I think that happens, verse 4, he says, no man that warreth entangleth himself with the affairs of this life, that he may please him who hath chosen him to be a soldier. And so often, I feel like, and I don't know, I have to say that when I see the need around the world, and the Lord's allowed me to travel around to many places and see the great need, especially in Latin America and so many countries and cities of millions upon millions upon millions. Just a couple weeks ago with the teenagers from our church, we were in Medellin, Colombia. It's a city of about 6 million people. And we have two missionary families that are working there. And as we drove through the city, it was about an hour without traffic, an hour and 15 minutes, hour and a half just across the city. And I just saw just enormous neighborhoods on the side of the mountain. And we would drive for about 30 minutes, and it was a neighborhood, and it just continued, and it just continued, and it just continued, and just continued. And I asked, do you know of any churches up in that area? And the missionary said, we don't know of anyone that's working in those areas. And I just have to think about the great need. But the thing, what happens is, so often, I just have to ask the question, is it that God does not want them to hear the gospel? Something I think that we would all say, there's no way that God doesn't want them to hear the gospel. Or is he not calling people to take the gospel to them? Or is it that too often, we're not willing to listen to God's call in our lives? Why? Because we get so tied up with the things in our life. We have our lives, we have our families, we have our jobs, we have our things, we have all of our stuff, and so often in our lives, and they're not bad things. None of those things are bad things. A career, a family, a house, all the things that we have are good things. But sometimes, if we're not careful, those things can wrap us up and tie us up so much that when we even think about the possibility of doing what God wants, we think, well, that's got to be for somebody else. There's just no way that I could get out from underneath all of this that I've got going on. That's why he tells us here, no man that warreth entangleth himself with the affairs of this life. And then so quickly, not only do we see the illustration of a soldier, but then an athlete. Verse 5, he says, and if a man also strive for masteries, yet he is not crowned except he strive lawfully. Anyone that's going to be and as you can probably tell by looking at me, I'm not much of an athlete. The only way that I could ever get into somewhat kind of decent shape is playing soccer. I hate to run. My wife loves to run, and I've tried to run with her. I can play soccer for about an hour and a half without stopping running. The next day, I almost need crutches or a walker to walk, but I can run for 5-10 minutes, and I'm done. It's like as far as I can go. But here in the United States, you can't find anybody that wants to actually do something like that. And so, you know, in Bolivia, it's a little bit easier, but here, that's why our clothes shrink and everything so much more. But the idea is it requires a lot of determination. If someone's going to compete and win and receive the crown, as it says here, it requires a lot of sacrifice, a lot of determination. Someone that's willing to push through the pains and push through the discomfort to be able to accomplish it in their lives, but then also to realize that there's no shortcuts. There's no shortcuts with serving God. We have to be willing to go through the process that He wants us to go through to get the preparation that we need to have to be able to do what God has called us to do. And then the last illustration, in verse 6, we see the illustration of a farmer. He says, "The husbandman that laboreth must be first partaker of the fruits. Consider what I say, and the Lord give thee understanding in all things." Now, I grew up on a farm. We didn't farm for a living, but I was able to work as a teenager with some family friends that were farmers. And so one summer I decided, I was about 15 years old, I decided I wanted to make some money during the summer. And so I went to work in the tobacco fields with these family friends of ours. And after that, I thought, money's not worth it. After that summer, I didn't go back. If you've ever know anything about tobacco farming, we planted, we harvested tobacco, we picked the tobacco, picked tomatoes, and it's not an easy job. It's not an easy job. It's very difficult. Even the gardens that we had require that you start in the fall and you plow the garden, you prepare the garden. Then in the springtime, you till the garden, you make the rows, you plant the seeds, and sometimes you have to even water, and the plant starts to come up just a little bit, and it begins to grow, and then you have to pull out all the weeds and everything. And it's a lot of work, especially when it gets hot in the summertime and you're out there in the garden and you're working. But why is it that we do that? Because I want to tell you, there's nothing greater than going out to the garden and picking some fresh corn and cooking it up and being able to eat it. Fresh lettuce, fresh squash, fresh beans, green beans, all the things you can get from the... I don't know about you, maybe not today, it's not so much, but to me, eating fresh like that from the garden, man, it is nice. And we get to enjoy that. We get to savor it. You say, well, what does that have to do with making disciples? Because as we've seen, it's difficult. It's a lot of work. It's a lot of sacrifice. But it's that harvest that always makes it worth it. When we can see lives truly changed for the gospel, truly changed in the difference that it will make in their lives. And I could tell you story after story about how God's changed lives. And that's not any bragging on myself, because as I said, you know, my greatest fear was having to speak to people publicly or speak to people in a group or anything like that. And so if God's done anything in Bolivia, I can definitely tell you it's all Him and not us. But when we see someone that gets saved, born again, they begin to grow. And they begin to give their lives to serve Him. I can tell you there's no greater joy. And that's what Paul says in 3 John. He says there's no greater joy than to see that your children walk in truth. And this is basically, I guess, like similar to what it is to be a parent. Our goal as a parent is to take our children to the point to where they no longer need us and they can be successful and live their lives in a God-honoring way. And that's what we need to do with more people. Be spiritual parents. Be spiritual friends and come alongside them and help them as they stumble, to help them back up, to help them as they walk, to help them as they grow, help them as they struggle until they can get to the point where they are no longer need us necessarily spiritually, but then they can go and help someone else in that same way. And I truly believe that we'll be able to see a great impact as we multiply ourselves and make disciples. And not only, there's no doubt in my mind that not only would you have a greater impact here, but there's no doubt that God is going to call some people here to take the gospel somewhere around the world to those who have never heard and do the exact same process with them. And we can see the gospel begin to spread. The question is for us, are we willing to invest in eternity in the lives of others? Let's pray. Father, we thank you so much for your word. Thank you, Lord, for the task that you've given us. I pray that you would encourage us. I pray that you would help us to be willing to pay whatever the price may be, to be able to sacrifice whatever is necessary to be able to make disciples, to see people grow, to see people multiply, to see many people reached with your gospel and see the difference you can make around the world. We thank you for all that you do. In Jesus' name.